As you open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, we're going to be continuing on in our little mini-series. Next week, we're jumping into the book of 1 Timothy. Last week, we were talking about David and King Saul and Jonathan, and today we're going to kind of continue that on, and we're going to talk about what it means to have a covenant friendship. What does it mean to be a friend and to have that kind of relationship? You know, I've heard it said that a true friend will always be there for you when you need to move. I've heard also that a real friend is one that won't only help you move, but will also help you move a dead body. I don't know about you. We all want a friend like that. Maybe not helping us move a body, but someone who's going to be there at the drop of a hat. They're going to be there when we call. But it's so often we don't find those kinds of relationships. We don't find them. In fact, I even would tell you, and you're going to hear this a couple of times today as we talk through, I think one of the reasons that we don't find those is that many times we're not that type of friend to others. And so today, one of the things I want you to begin to evaluate is what kind of friend are you? Are you one that is entered into with someone, a covenant friendship with, one that you've got their back, they've got your back? And as we begin to talk about that today, I think we're going to be able to see something from the relationship that Jonathan and David had. You know, leading psychologists in America will tell us that less than 10%, I want you to catch this, men, less than 10% of men have a real friend that they can turn to. We have a lot of acquaintances. We have a lot of friends on Facebook. But I want you to know, those aren't your friends. You realize that. They're just people that you remember from way back when. All right? We're talking about a true friend. Ladies, the statistics are only just a little bit higher for you. They're only a little bit higher. You may feel more emotionally connected to people, but leading psychologists will tell us that the true friend that you can turn to in your moment of need, most of us don't have. Most of us will have a pair of shoes longer than we'll have a true friend. We chuckle because we know that to be true. Our goal, my goal today, is not to help you to have just a better relationship. My goal today is to help you see some characteristics that will help you to be a better friend so that you can then have a covenant relationship with someone that will help you and them live a more godly life, to be a closer follower of Christ, so that you're both moving in the same direction for the glory of God. Now, 1 Samuel 18, we started last week, and I shared a little bit with you about Saul, Samuel, David, and Jonathan. I just want to catch you up real quickly. I'm not going to be long on this. If you weren't here last week, you can check it out. But remember, the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel specifically, is all about the institution of the two first kings of Israel, King Saul and King David. King Saul, the nation of Israel, they wanted a king. And God said, listen, you don't need a king. I've sent you prophets. I've sent you judges. They're there to help point you to the one true king, me. I'm your king. And they said, no, we want to be like everyone else. We need a king. So God said, all right, and he gave them King Saul. Samuel went, anointed him, and Saul did awesome for a period of time. For several years, he was like kicking tail and taking names. They were winning wars. They were doing all the right things. I mean, his fame was renowned. And then all of a sudden, he began to fall away. He began to be disobedient to the Lord. And Samuel went and confronted him in Samuel 13 and said, listen, if you don't change, if you don't repent, here's what's going to happen. The kingdom's going to be torn from you. And 1 Samuel 15, I believe it is, God does tell Samuel, no, he's not repenting. Now it's time. And Samuel goes and says, the kingdom has been torn from you. You will not have an heir that sits on the throne. Immediately from there, you go to Samuel with David, and Samuel goes and anoints David, the little shepherd boy, to be the king. He wasn't the king then. He was like the king in waiting. Saul didn't realize this. You have the whole Goliath thing that happens in 1 Samuel 17. In 1 Samuel 17, the two armies, the Philistine army and Israel, they're fighting. You got one on this side, one on this side. This row here is like a valley. And Goliath, the 9-foot champion, the giant, would come out and he would yell obscenities at Israel about their God. And he would say, listen, let's go mano a mano, man to man. You send your champion and I'll be here and we'll fight. And whoever wins, their God is the winner. And you can't beat me anyway. This went on for days, went on for days. Well, Jesse, David's father, sends him to the army and says, take some supplies. David shows up and he watches what's going on. And he says, what the heck? How come nobody is fighting for the glory of God here? How come no one is rushing out to take this thing on? And David says, I'll do it. All his brothers said, listen, he's a glory seeker. He just wants his name known. Well, he was a glory seeker. It wasn't his own name, though. It's for the glory of God that he was fighting for. He runs out with his sling, his stone, boom, conks him in the head, runs up, he falls, takes his sword, chops his head off, takes the head back to Saul. The scripture says at the end of 17, David never left and went back home. He stayed in the house of Saul from that day forward. Things were not always good. Saul did not realize that David was going to be king. He did not realize that. Let's pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Notice that. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Notice right here. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. He loved him as his own soul. Now, they became soul brothers at that moment. I don't think Jonathan, obviously, this is the beginning and the initiation of the relationship. I don't think Jonathan knew that David would one day become king at this moment. I think he realized it later. I think he realized it later. But here's what's happening. He realizes and sees, listen, this young boy has just saved the kingdom. He saved my dad's kingdom. I think he's probably thinking, he saved my kingdom. I'm going to, listen, I'm bringing him into the fold. Daddy's not letting him go home. I want to be buddies. You and I, we're together. They were probably close to the same age. They probably had some of the same mannerisms at some level. They certainly love their country and they love God. You can see because they were fighting for the kingdom at that moment. But what ends up happening is this, is that David begins to rise up. Saul gives his daughter to David to marry. So David becomes the son-in-law. David begins to find, he begins to fight and he begins to win battles. So Saul makes him the captain of the army. He is the best buds with Jonathan, his son. Things are going well for several years until finally the psalmist, those who begin to write the songs, David wrote a lot of the psalms, but there were others who wrote psalms. They began to write songs. They were writing them about Saul. Oh, Saul is great. But then they began writing more songs and greater songs about David. And Saul gets jealous and he begins to remember, hey, wait a minute. Samuel has said, the kingdom is ripped from me. It's not going to be mine. It's not going to be Jonathan's. I can't imagine him bringing Jonathan in and saying, Jonathan, you realize David is probably going to be the next king. And he says to him, the scripture tells us, you must go kill him. You need to go kill him. Can you imagine your daddy? Men, women, can you imagine your dad looking at you, whom you love, you have a desire to please, saying you've got to go kill your best friend? The person, the scripture says, that your heart was knit together. Your heart was knit together. Well, that wasn't even an issue for him because there was a covenant friendship between David and Jonathan. And here's the characteristic I want you to write down of a covenant friendship. The first thing is this, is that there was a commitment and a loyalty to the relationship. A covenant friendship is always marked by a commitment and a loyalty to the relationship. I mean, he said, no, I don't. In his heart, he's going, this is an easy one. I'm going to be loyal to David. You see, Jonathan was more of a man than his daddy was. His daddy wanted to take out the one who was saved the kingdom. He wanted to take him out. Listen, most men, think of Jonathan. Most men, when they see someone who is a threat to their own dreams, most men want to push that guy away. They want to keep him at bay. They want to get him out. Jonathan said, no, I want to bring him close. I want him in. He is a friend. I am committed to this man. Listen, I think today, most of us, most followers of Jesus, I'm going to hone this in now to those of us who follow Jesus. I think most of us who follow Jesus, one of the reasons that we become stagnant in our walk with Christ, one of the reasons we become stagnant in our fellowship of God is because we don't have a covenant friendship in our life. Someone who will look at us, someone who is committed to us, someone who is loyal to us, who is so committed and so loyal to us that would say to us, hey, listen, you're about to take a bad step here. You're about to really mess this up. Jonathan, David, their hearts were knit together. Jonathan was committed to David. Jonathan brought him in. He didn't push him away. He began to realize, and I think it's somewhere really quick, he began to go, listen, this guy could be king one day. And he didn't try to push him away. He began to bring him in. And they began to share life together. They began to speak into each other's lives. Listen, men, ladies, listen, how do you begin to have a covenant relationship with someone, a covenant friendship? How do you begin that? First off, it's finding someone and saying, hey, I invite you in. I'm inviting you in. I need you to speak to me. I need you to watch out for me. I need you to make sure you've got my back. If there are things coming, if I have blind spots, I need you to speak to those. Let me ask you something. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Have you opened that door for someone in your life? Let me ask you this. Are you that person in someone's life? My experience is this, is that if you don't have someone in your life like that, you probably aren't being someone like that. You're not that kind of friend. My experience is that when we begin to open our lives and say, I need you in, you know what they begin to do? They begin to say, I need you to do that in my life also. And it becomes, you begin to see the growth of a friendship, a covenant friendship, one that is committed to each other. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long process. It's a long time, but I want you to hear this. You're never going to have a covenant friendship if you're not even open to Christian camaraderie. That's why we're always asking you, hey, jump into a small group, get into a Bible study class, because it is so important to us long-term moving where it is that God desires us to move. What he wants us to be, we have to invite others. You see, Christianity is not a solo sport. It's not golf. It's not golf. Christianity is all about the team. It's all about the team. It's us looking out for one another, having the best interest of each other. So the very first characteristic that you begin to see is this, in a covenant relationship, a covenant friendship. Listen, what was it that Jesus said about Adam? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, we know that he's talking about husbands and wives here, but principally, he's talking about community. He's talking about people who walk into our lives, and we have to be open to invite that in today. We must need that. So the very first one is that we are committed. We're committed and we're loyal in a covenant relationship. Are you that with somebody? The second thing I think you would begin to see is this, is that a covenant relationship, a covenant friendship is sacrificial. It is sacrificial. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 of chapter 18 says this. Remember, verse 4 comes after verse 3. The very next thing, it says they were united. That Jonathan loved him, made a covenant, and then it says, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him. He stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. Jonathan, in this moment, he makes a huge sacrifice. I don't know if you've ever heard of the phrase, man, about someone, and they would say, man, that person would give you the shirt off their back. You ever heard that phrase before? He'd give you a shirt off his. I don't know if this is where it came from, but this literally is the picture that we see right here. This is the picture. Because he takes off the robe. He literally takes off his robe. It was a royal robe. Remember, he was the prince. He took off his robe, and it says he gave it to David. That's a sacrifice. That's a picture of covenant. That's a picture of I'm giving myself to you. He took off all of the armament, his armor, took his sword, his bow, his shield, his belt. He gave it all. Literally, he's laying down and saying, listen, what's mine is yours. Again, I don't think at this very moment that he realizes that David will one day be the king. But he is laying down sacrificially all of what it means to be royal to his friend. And just think, this was the initiation of the friendship. This was the initiation of the friendship. Because when David finished killing Goliath and he brought the head back, the head of Saul back, Saul looks at him and says, who are you? Tell me about your family. He says, I am the son of Jesse, your servant. This was their introduction. And it says at that moment, Jonathan made a covenant and he invited him in. Who have you sacrificed for in friendship? Do you know what sacrifice looks like in a friendship? It's a call at 2 a.m. and you're there. Is it money? Is it time? Is it possessions? Is it an ear? Who is it that you're sacrificing for in a friendship to say, yes, I am in with you? Even when it looks like, hear this, even when it looks like you're the only one sacrificing. Even when it looks like you're the only one sacrificing. Listen, here you have Jonathan who gives. But if you keep reading, you find out that, you know, there was a day, as we skip through the story here, there was a day when Jonathan and Saul were killed. They were killed in battle on the exact same day. And the scripture tells us in Samuel, it tells us that when they were killed in battle by the Philistines, the same army they had been fighting for 40 years, when they were killed in battle, the scripture says that the Philistines took the body of Saul and Jonathan and nailed them to the city wall. When they came into the city wall of Beth-shean, they were nailed. You see the two bodies, the king and the prince, are nailed. When David got word, he sent his men in at night and they took down the body of the king who had been trying to kill him, Saul. The body of his best friend, his covenant relationship, the body of his friend who helped him avoid death, murder by his daddy. He took them down and it says he gave them a proper burial. The scripture says that shortly after he became the king, which is only a few months afterwards, as he became the king and he went back into Jerusalem to be the king, he called his friends together, his aides, and he said to the aides there, he said, hey, is there anyone left in the house of Jonathan that I can show kindness to? Do you know what a new king would always do? The first act of a new king in the ancient world, what did they do? They would go in and they would kill everybody of all the family of the former king, wipe them out. But David and Jonathan had made a covenant with one another. They'd made a covenant with one another. And David said, is there anybody in the house of Jonathan that I can show kindness to? And there was the aides said this, there's one son that he has, his name is Mephibosheth. If you've never read the story of Mephibosheth, I encourage you, please go and read it in Samuel. The story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth's legs, he couldn't work. He couldn't use them. They were crippled. His aide had taken him, ran him across the border because they were afraid now that Saul's dead, they're going to end up coming to kill this baby, because that's what you would do. Took him across the border away from the kingdom. And David said this, go get Mephibosheth and bring him back. They go to get Mephibosheth and bring him back. And he looks at Mephibosheth and says, because of my love of your dad, I want you to know you will never again be out of the kingdom. You'll always live with me. You'll always eat at my table. There will be my food. My house is your house. All of the lands of your grandfather, Saul, and your dad, Jonathan. Saul, your grandfather who tried to kill me. All of the lands, they're yours again. Though you will never live on it, I'm going to send servants who are now your servants, and they'll work the land for your children, for you to have a legacy. That is sacrifice and commitment. Let me ask you something. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend that if something happened today, you know they're going to step in? Do you have a friend that when you pick the phone up and you call, do you have a friend that you don't even have to call? They hear and they're there. Do you have a covenant relationship that you are willing to sacrifice for? So many times today, I think we treat relationships as not loyal, but disposable. Not covenant and commitment, but consumeristic. Some of you, you'll resonate with this. Some of you may still have your grandmama or your mama's refrigerator in your garage. Some of you know, because those things lasted for years. They lasted for years. We had a washing and dryer. We had a washing machine and dryer growing up. 20 years. There's no ugly green one. We couldn't do anything to make that thing break. Today, appliances are made to last about what? Maybe 10 years? Maybe 10 years? Computers. Computers are designed to last 3 to 4 years. Did you realize that Apple, they label all computers over 5 years as vintage? They label all. That's why even if you go to buy a new vehicle today or a used vehicle here in Murfreesboro, do you realize that some dealerships will give you a lifetime warranty on a vehicle with over 100,000 miles? Do you know why they do that? Because they know and they're betting the odds that you're not going to keep it till you pay it off. You see, we run through things, and I want to be real careful here. Stay with me. I want to be real careful here. I like new things. I like to have a new pair of shoes. I like to have a new phone. Guys, who doesn't like a new television? The problem with that is when we utilize that mentality into relationships, and relationships become disposable. My wife, she doesn't meet it for me anymore. You know, my husband, he just doesn't understand anymore. My friends, you know, I told them something. They got mad. They didn't like it. I mean, we're disagreeing. I'm just, you know what? Pull the ripcord. I'm bailing on this. I'm out. My church, listen, it's been great, but there's a new youth pastor down the street. They've got a brand new children's ministry. You know, there's a new pastor in town. Listen, when we treat relationships like an old worn-out pair of shoes, this is not what we see in the scripture. Covenant relationship is about commitment and loyalty. It's about sacrifice. It's about saying, hey, listen, I'm not just in it for what I can get out of it. I am in it till it's over. I'm fighting for you. I'm committed to you. I'm with you. Do you realize that's a foreign concept in our life today? Many times it's foreign, just born out of reality. I don't know about you. I moved here 18 years ago. I'm not from here. I left my hometown. Many of you are in that same boat. You probably left relationships. You left them. This is why I encourage us all the time. Get involved in community here. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in a life group. Get involved in a class so that you can begin to connect. Do you realize that Jesus never walked more than 150 miles from his home? He was never more than 150 miles from his home. Now, he traveled like multiple thousands of miles in his walking and his all that he did. But he never moved more than 150 miles from his home. Do you know in those days, people, they lived, they were educated, they grew up, married, died, buried in the same town. That's just not reality for us, right? I mean, most people who live here aren't from here. That's why we, the community that have covenanted together under the name of Jesus Christ, that we claim he is our Lord and Savior. We have covenanted with, he has covenanted with us and he is ours. And together as a community, we come alongside one another and say, listen, I am here for you. I'm here for you. If that sounds foreign to you, that's probably because you've not sunk in and tried to be that with someone else and invited that in. And I'm asking you, I'm calling us today to be that type of friend to someone, to be that type of friend. The King James Version talks about in I believe it's Proverbs 18:24, that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The beginning of that in the King James Version says this: for those who, to be a friend, you must first show yourself friendly. Listen, I'm not asking you just to be friendly. I'm not asking you just to smile and do an elbow bump. And I'm asking you to say, listen, I want a friend that I can commit to. I want to be in with you. I want to be in with you. I want to walk with you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to spur you on to love and good works, just like I need you to do that with me. The third characteristic, quickly, and we wrap up, is this, is not only is the first one is there's a commitment and loyalty to that friend that you see in David and Jonathan. The second one was there was sacrifice and a covenant friendship. The third one is this, is that they had the same conviction and mission. They had the same conviction and mission. They were moving together. David and Jonathan were covenant friends because they shared the same goals and values. They both wanted to defeat the Philistines. They both had a love for Israel. They both had a love for God. They both had a love for the kingdom. There's a story in 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer, this is before David even comes along. Jonathan and his armor bearer are walking along, and the Philistines, he sees 20 of them on a ridge. He looks over at his armor bearer and basically says, hey, let's do this. Let's go. Armor bearer's kind of looking at him, and he says, yeah, we can do this. And if we can't, we're going to die anyway. So Jonathan does his best Rambo, climbs the mountain, goes over, and the story tells us that he's the last one standing. He killed all of them. Jonathan himself was much like David. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of courage. He was a man of honor. He was ready to go. Is there any wonder that when he sees what David does, he says, listen, I'm in with you. I'm with you. I'm all in on that. You and me, we're linking up and we're going. You know what you call two people like who look at each other and like are really enamored? They get the Google eyes, right? Don't you? You know, that's called lovers. All right. You know what you call when one person is looking at another with Google eyes, don't you? That's called a stalker. You want to get away from them. All right. True covenant friendship is not looking at each other. It's both of us looking in the same direction going, that's the mountain we're taking. We're moving in that direction. Listen, when you first get married, you do have the Google eyes. I mean, like you're oogling and all that. Listen, somewhere around 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you're both just going, we're headed in that direction. I'm sticking with you. I still have Google eyes for Amy. She does not have that for me as much anymore. But thankfully, she is sticking with me, and we're headed in the same direction. That is covenant. It's covenant. Let me ask you something. You got a friend like that? You got a friend like that where you said, man, we're linking up, and we're going to take that mountain for the glory of God. We are in this thing together. We are going to win this. We are in this not for our own ambition. We're in this for the mission of God. We are seeking His glory and His glory alone. You know, the sad thing is about this is that there are people who actually take the story of David and Jonathan today and they've hijacked it. People who try to say that homosexuality, the Bible says it's all right. And they say, well, listen, they had that type of relationship. They were lovers. Well, no, that's not what the scripture is saying here. And one of the reasons that they use that is that when David, because of their strong emotions that they had for one another, you realize that that covenant friends have strong emotion for one another, don't you? There's a passage where it talks about that when Jonathan went to David and said, you've got to get out of town. You've got to leave because daddy's coming for you. The scripture tells us that they stood and they hugged one another. And it says they had that old ugly cry where they couldn't even talk. And they kissed one another on the cheek. They kissed one another. People say, see, look there. There it is. Folks, listen, did you realize that in the Eastern world that men still kiss each other? Did you realize that it's a kiss on the cheek, that they are just... There's an affection when you realize I may never see you again. Not like maybe it is your moving, but there is like my life is dependent. My best friend's about to go. He could die. There's a strong emotion. There's a strong emotion. Let me ask you something. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend that if they were ripped from you today, that it would rip your heart out? Because you're committed and you're loyal, because there's been a sacrifice, because there's been a mission, and we're on this thing together for the glory of God. In 2 Samuel, when Jonathan died, David wrote a song. And David wrote in that song, he said that Jonathan's love was better than a woman. Now listen. This does not prove that they were gay. You know what this proves? It proves that David never knew a covenant love relationship with a woman because he had so many women. It's not that he loved a man more than a woman. It's that he loved too many women. And he did not have a covenant relationship, a covenantal love with his wife. Now, with that, I want to make sure and say this. What you do know is that he had experienced a covenantal friendship with Jonathan that radically shaped his world, had a huge impact on him. Folks, I want to ask you something. Do you have a friend like that in your life? Do you have a friend like that? Women, ladies, I'm not just talking about I've got an emotional connection. I mean someone that you sacrifice for, someone that you're loyal and committed to, someone that you say, I'm in it with them. Guys, for those of us in here who statistically, we don't even have 1 in 10 friends. Now, you know, we don't have any friends. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to say, listen, I'm going to open up. I want you in my life. I need you. My family needs you speaking into my life. I need you. Do you realize that Jesus is the greater Jonathan in this story? You realize that every story in the Bible points to Jesus. And Jonathan helps us to see Jesus. That Jesus is the greater Jonathan because he had a commitment and a loyalty to his heavenly Father. Jesus was willing to sacrifice everything. Philippians says he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, but he laid it aside. He took on the role of a servant. He willingly laid his life down so that you and I, those of us who name Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he sacrificed his life. He is the sacrificial lamb so that we might have a right relationship, so that we can actually come into covenant relationship with God. Do you realize that Jesus is the greater Jonathan? Because he didn't count his own ambition. He followed the mission of God. He came to seek and to save. He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. Folks, let me ask you something. Today, are you that type of friend? Do you have a covenant relationship with a friend that you say, listen, I'm in it with them. I'm not going anywhere. It may even feel like I'm the only one who's giving into this at times. Well, listen, I want you to know this. If you're in a real covenant relationship, I promise you there's going to be times when you're probably the only one giving. Because we all falter. But I don't want you to lose sight that that friend also is, they're sacrificing for you also. Are you about the mission, the glory of God together? I want to call you. Come join this family. We want to know you. We want to be friends with you. We want to walk with you. Last passage is in John 15. Look what John 15 says. John 15, chapter 15, verses 13 through 15 says this, that greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Listen, Jesus calls you friend, and he laid his life down for you. You know what he's calling you to do today? He's calling you to lay your life down also. To lay your life down for a friend. Some of you tonight or this morning, you're thinking this. You know, I do have a good friend. The person you're describing, but they don't follow Jesus. Listen, are you willing to lay your life down? Are you willing to lay your time down so that you can get on your knees and pray and say, God, do something in their lives? Are you willing to lay your pride down and risk being embarrassed in some way, a risk of being asked a question you can't answer necessarily, to go and share with them that Jesus Christ is the only way? Because that's what a true friend does. When a true friend knows the remedy, they share it. If there's a true friend of mine that sees me about to destroy my life, they better share it. Hey, listen, wake up. Do you understand? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And that's what we're calling us to today. Not just to be better friends, but so that we can walk in godly mission with one another. So that we can walk together. Hebrews says that Jesus kept the covenant of friendship with his blood. Philippians tells us that he was obedient to the point of death, that he didn't count equality with God something to be held on to. Folks, are you willing to do that? Will you step into that with us? Some of you may have heard someone say before, maybe at another church, you know, I was out for a month and no one ever called me. They don't care about people. My first response when I hear that with someone or they speak that to me is, so where are you connected? Are you in a life group? Do you have friends? Who would you count as friends? My experience is that they're not connected. That's why we ask you to be connected, so that you don't fall through. My second question is always this. When they tell me if they are connected in some way, or well, I used to be in this group, I come back to the person that they are in their group and say, I need you to follow up. You know why? Because people are hurting. People are suffering. People have things that we don't even know about, and we have been called to walk with them in that. That's what we've been called to do. As covenant people, we've been called to walk. If I were not here for 4 weeks, at some point I'm going to expect someone to go, where is that jackleg? That dude's not been gone. Right now, there may be some. Because we're in covenant relationships, you realize it's our responsibility to call them, to go after them. Because that's what we do when we're in covenant relationship. And this is what Jesus calls us to. And today, I call you to that. Some of you, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. He wants you to know him because he sacrificed all for you. Would you come? Would you give your life to him today? Jesus, I honor you and I thank you. I pray, Father, that you would make us friends, covenant friends. God, that you would make us a friend to someone. God, that we would go, that we would invite people into our lives for the glory of God. Jesus, I love you. I honor you. Make me that type of friend today. Not just for better relationships, but so that I can look more like you and invite people to help me do that. Lord, it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen.